Welcome back to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. 5G. It's rare that a number and a letter create so much excitement. It literally just means the fifth generation of wireless technology, and it promises faster service, more data, and more devices connected to each other. U.S. cell phone companies have unveiled new 5G phones and small 5G networks this year, and more is coming. But it's not just about better cell service. The last generation, 4G, is widely credited with enabling things like the rise of online shopping and services like Uber. Now, analysts say 5G technology could do the same for virtual reality and the Internet of Things. The result, they say, could be revolutionary. Think virtual reality dressing rooms for online shopping, or smart homes that make Nest and voice-controlled light switches look like dunces. And of course, 5G could transform many industries. Not just communication and media, but manufacturing, healthcare, even agriculture. And as industries transform, so does the experience of workers. Muriel Medard is the Cecil H. Green Professor of Electrical Engineering and Computer Science at MIT, and she'll be talking about 5G and the future of work at MTech 19, a conference at MIT later this week. Muriel, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
When we say things like 4G, 5G, going from one generation to the next, that sounds like incremental improvement. We're going to have more data. It's going to be faster. What makes this so revolutionary?
So one of the things that's interesting and the reason people are wondering whether this is really going to be, if you will, quite revolutionary and different is that there is in 5G versus, let's say, former rollouts, there's more of an emphasis on integrating 5G with other aspects of wireless, which up until now had been somewhat separate.
Like what?
So, you know, you mentioned Nest or light switches, but, you know, people are looking at this for vehicle technologies. So car-to-car communications, for safety and possibly self-driving down the road. They're thinking of things like haptic networks, so where you might have sufficiently low delays that you could have applications where it feels like you're feeling things, so for things like remote medicine and so on. So the thing I would say that's a bit different about 5G versus how the other generations were envisaged is this emphasis from the beginning rather than post-talk to incorporate a variety of different applications from the Internet of Things, vehicular, even satellite, which up until now had been very separate.
And how does that play out in terms of user experience? I mean, how different will daily life be? What will it look like?
It's a good question, and I don't think anybody knows. It's just me. Because, you know, in some respects, many of the final aspects of 5G have not been nailed down. Some of the standardization that has taken place in many cases does not look exactly light years away from what we knew in 4G. And so, you know, while definitely being an improvement, it's not clear that those by themselves are, if you will, quantum leaps. So it's not quite clear what will happen.
Muriel Medard, let's talk about a couple of the things that have created a lot of excitement about what 5G could do. And one of those is virtual reality and augmented reality. And you already mentioned this idea that connections might be fast enough that you could almost feel, not just, you know, talk to somebody on the other end of a computer Skype connection. Is that speed and data need kind of what's holding virtual reality or augmented reality back from being commonplace? And could 5G make it a common part of daily life?
One of the things to remember is that when you're talking about wireless environments, there's a lot of uncertainty because it's, you know, it's actually both sparse in how we use it and crowded. Think of a road which maybe has a lot of lanes, and each user just needs one lane at a time. Now, if the road were better, maybe it could go faster. But think that the roads right now have a lot of potholes. This is something that's familiar to us living in Massachusetts.
Absolutely.
And you also have to worry about other drivers basically coming in and out of your lane and also slowing you down. That's what we call multi-user interference. That's the person next door turning on the microwave. That's maybe somebody on the Wi-Fi in a crowded area with you. So even though you may say, you know, that you have a brand new road, as obstacles show up on the road, and as other drivers show up on the road, it all becomes a little iffy. Many of you probably have looked at buying an internet connection. Often you have, you know, speeds up to, well, you know, the up to is an upper bound.
Right.
What do you reliably get? If you start an application, do you know that you're going to have robust provisioning of that level of service during the entire time that you're using the application? And that's always been one of the very tricky parts about anything that's wireless. Now, one of the aspects that 5G is trying to do is to use what I would say is tough real estate spectrum. Okay, so basically people have already built the roads in the nice flat parts. That's where a lot of the earlier versions like 3G, 4G have been. That's where a lot of the Wi-Fi also lives. But now think that those roads are getting, you know, pretty crowded. What you do is you start looking for the real estate where nobody has made any roads. You have a lot of space there. You can make, you know, multi-lane highways. But there was a reason people hadn't built roads there. It's not going to be easy.
So we're talking about using different parts of the radio spectrum to be
exactly
able to just open things up.
Exactly. And at very high frequencies, you just have a lot more spectrum available. But they're more challenging.
Muriel Madard, when we think about this idea of 5G creating infinite lane highways, essentially, for the rapid, almost instantaneous transfer of large amounts of data. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, we could all stream our favorite movies all the time, but this also has a lot of ramifications for a lot of industries. And what you're going to be talking about at the MTech 2019 conference later this week is how this could play out in the future of work. So
Right. What
are some of the ways that you see the advent of 5G affecting our workplaces and our work lives?
So I think this goes back very much to what we just talked about in terms of the reliability. If one can count on reliable services that allow remote operation of certain aspects of our work lives, not just, of course, what we're used to right now, which would be, say, a teleconference, that's already changed the way people work quite a bit. But having, I hesitate to say virtual reality, but, you know, let's say a more enhanced presence, or more wide variety of applications, then that could really change where we work and what the expectations are also of how people interact with each other.
So telecommuting more often or more widely, and then the possibility you were just mentioning of almost like virtual meetings, virtual conferences. I mean, the first thing that springs to mind for me is that, of course, if you go to a conference, the most useful part is always the part in between the sessions, which is never going to be, you know, webcast or broadcast.
Right.
Maybe this would enable you to have the water cooler experience as well.
That's
as
right.
the meeting That's experience.
Right. Yes, what is often called the networking side, even though it's the only part that actually uses no networking in the technical sense, exactly. So I think that those are some of the aspects, but also, you know, maybe having more reliable data feeds, more reliable video feeds, being able to access your data with more ease across different regions, being able to cache, which is in effect pre-place some data for easy access, so that shared work is more readily done. I mean, nowadays we know very often when we're with coworkers, you know, we'll have difficulty sharing documents. You know, there's certain aspects.
It's a difficulty we know all too well. Yes,
it's a difficulty we all know well. But you know, if you're trying to do something which is more advanced, like you're trying to do some very distributed processing on data, then having that data be consistent and available across a wide number of users who themselves may be quite geo-dispersed, that sort of ability can really change what the expectations are.
Well, Muriel Madard, the idea that 5G could enhance collaboration sounds great. But on the other hand, we hear a lot about 5G enhancing the Internet of Things, allowing machines to talk to each other more easily. And I wonder, could 5G, one of its major impacts on the workplace, be the acceleration of this trend we're already seeing of automation moving into the workplace, the quote-unquote robot takeover that some people are worried about?
I think that, you know, I'm more on the technology side, not really on the side of, you know, the history of labor. But certainly that's also something that one needs to be, I think, wary and conscious of, that there not be unintended consequences. From the economic side, I don't know what would happen. You know, as I said, for instance, data and collaboration will allow maybe people who had been shut out of the workforce to be included, or whether there will be a wider disparity, in particularly between communities that have access to a very very robust services versus those that don't. So I think that from a societal perspective is certainly a concern that should be addressed probably ahead of time rather than post facto.
Muriel Madard is the Cecil H. Green Professor of Electrical Engineering and Computer Science at MIT. She'll be talking about 5G and the future of work at MTech 2019, a conference at MIT later this week. Muriel, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Until next week, this is Living Lab Radio. You can always connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. We're not on virtual reality yet. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab Radio is produced by WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio in Boston. It's produced by me, Elsa Partan, and Heather Goldstone is executive producer. Theme music by Stellwagen Symphonette.